And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 869, your week 19 Fab recap. Moves are starting to slow down even more than the week before, of course. Prices are going down with a couple $100+ bids this week. It's going to be a doozy, but that means we're like 8 Fabs left to go, 9 weeks to go. And as we did last year, we're going to talk the rest of season, like 3 week schedule sample sizes the rest of the way. Every Monday, we'll kind of go the next 3 weeks, so on and so forth. But we'll recap your Fab before all that. In order to help me do that, it's my co-host as usual. You can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. You can also find him 11th in the main event overall. Ben Tidd, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty well, Bubba. Yeah, it's the main event's been... it's been tough, as it has been, but had a good start to the week this week in that one team, so can't complain. And seeing 8 weeks left of Fab is kind of wild after this week. And it's four weeks in August, 4 weeks in September. So we're in the last two-thirds of the season, which is – or last third of the season, excuse me, so which is sad, but got to keep grinding.
Yep, got to keep rolling. And as you know, every little bit counts as you try to win your league or compete for an overall. Like even 1 year that you're not in the overall with one of your mains, like the top three, you guys are all battling out as ridiculous numbers. So every little bit is going to help get to the finish line in those ones. But as I told the listeners at the beginning, we'll talk Fab per usual, and then we will move over to if you guys are new to this format, Ben puts together a spreadsheet that we go over and talk about the top like left-handed pitchers and right-handed pitchers and their schedules for the next 3 weeks. The next week it'll be updated with the current 3 weeks and so on and so forth to kind of give you an idea on either who to start, who to maybe stream off the waiver wire, so on and so forth. I will plug, if you are on the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon, on the weekly planner by Ryan Bloomfield, he has a similar like pitching grid you can go off of as well. They're two different viewing things, but you can use them in a similar situation, if that makes sense. So go check all that out, but we use Ben's trusty handiwork on this one. But before we get to that, Ben, I'll give you the floor to talk financials for week 19 Fab.
All right, another light week of spending, as you kind of alluded to, Bubba, and the OCs, the 12 teamers in week 19. Well, through 19 weeks, the average balance per team in the OCs is 249 compared to 236 last year, so a little behind pace in the spending there. This week it was $13 on average per team. Last week was $9, and the 13 compares to 15 in 2025. So we increased from the All-Star break week, but we went down compared to 2025 spending. Then jumping to the main event, the 15 teamers, the average balance per team is $199. So about actually $50 less in the main event versus the OC per team. That compares to 198 this time last year. So basically spot on again. It was only up by a dollar less. Last 3 weeks, 4 weeks now, it's been basically identical to last year, which is always insane, I think. And then in week 19 in the main event, $17 was spent per team on average, identical to last year, no surprise, and up from $13 last week. And then looking at the average moves per league in the OCs, it was 16, which was a big jump from the 11 last week, and actually more than week 17 as well, which had 15. So kind of in line with the last... the previous 5 weeks or so, those 16 moves in the OCs, and that's fewer than 1.5 per team. So still pretty, the movement's slowing down in the OCs for sure. In the main event, another bounce back. So there were 25 ads per league on average, up from 19 last week, and kind of in line with the previous 4 weeks before that as well. It was 29, 28, 27, 26, and now 25 if you skip the All-Star break. So still declining in both formats, but the main event is averaging almost 2 ads per team per league, whereas the OC is just above 1. So definitely more action in the main event still, which, like I said, isn't too surprising considering fewer teams in the contest and so fewer opportunities for people to give up and higher price points. A little more incentive to keep fighting, I think.
Yeah, no, that checks out to see. A few more people still grinding away at it, which is great. We expect the numbers to keep dropping off, but it's the weekly look back. It's crazy, like you were mentioning, like main event, we're pretty much still in line with what's going on. And OCs were a little behind, but it's crazy to, like, I guess crazy is not the right word, but like seeing it each week, it's like, okay, we can almost predict, okay, in a rough world, like next week was an outlier because it feels like there's probably some trade deadline movers and shakers, which will be a fun Fab to recap next week, because next Monday is the trade deadline. But for the most part, like outside of the outlier, we're probably in like a $15 to $20 world. So I'm curious to see where that goes next week, if that makes sense. And we'll see it, because it seems to be staying in line with the previous goes. All right, let's get to it. As usual, we start with the OCs, but we're going to do a lot more main events as the season has gone along, because it'll get you ready for your OC pickups this, you know, coming forward, even your 10-team leagues, if you're so inclined. With the most added player in the NFBC Online Championships and the main event, CES himself, Christian Encarnacion Strand, is back in the fantasy baseball ether. A couple few pickups last week. I think it kind of, I know I had mentioned how it surprised me. Like, I didn't even know he was back up and a thing. Played well over the weekend, got picked up, but played pretty much all week. CES was picked up in 143 OCs, average of $16, max of 60. He was picked up in 58 of 60 main events because he was already picked up in two the previous week. Average of 32 in the main events, max of 81 for CES. Christian Encarnacion Strand has played seven games for the Orioles, all at third base. So he might get third base eligibility with that first base in due time, Ben. But hitting 370 with three home runs, hit safely in six of seven games for the Orioles. What are your thoughts on this move? Because he's on a heater, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, big time. He was probably the most – I think he was second in my bid list where I needed corners, and that was almost every team, except for all three main events I needed corner help, or I had at least had corners in my bid lists. And I had Strand behind someone else who we'll get to. But when it comes to him, yeah, it just shows that you can't really write off a prospect. That today I was thinking about a good comp, and I think like Kyle Stowers could kind of be a good comparison potentially. Granted, Stowers actually went out and had a full year of doing this, whereas Strand's not going to be able to do that. And Encarnacion Strand, that is because here it is almost August, so he only has 2 months potentially to quote-unquote break out. But everything on StatCast looks really good. Only there's a couple sliders that aren't the best. Like a squared up is well below average. Chase percentage is well below. Not walking a whole lot, but his K rate, which I think has been a problem for CES in the past, is actually slightly above league average. But he doesn't qualify, so there's no percentiles, of course. But the barrel rate's 18% in his 30 plate appearances, which is awesome. It's good to see. And I pulled up the lineup tracker for the Orioles, and he is, of course, he sat tonight, which I think we had a listener comment slash question about. But he had started the last seven games for the Orioles at third base, and I think his eligibility says seven on NFBC, but it looks like it should be eight because he has, at least according to roster resource, he has eight games there. But he should get it soon. Third base is much more desirable right now than first base in my mind, so that'll be great. And just gotta, if you added CES, you just gotta keep playing him until something happens. He loses playing time or just cools off, because he had that monster spring training. I don't know, I think looking at his stats, probably 2023 was probably the year when that happened. I don't remember exactly, but then he just kind of fell apart. And he's only 26 still, so he has time to turn things around, and maybe this is it, because the Orioles, I don't think, are really doing that well. Probably won't make the playoffs, and that would give them incentive to see if CES can figure things out for the last 2 months. So I definitely like this ad. I got shut out on him in my leagues, which stings for now, but he's got to wait and see how things turn out. But it looks like a good ad.
It looks like a really good ad, and to your point, like I was worried. I think we talked about it last week. I'm like, I want to see the playing time. Playing time looks real good, and he's basically taken it from Mayo, which is, I thought, who was going to get that playing time when it opened up, when Blaze Alexander hit the IL. But, yeah, you guys kind of know it's going to be a very streaky situation, maybe like a Esberlin Valdez-type profile. But for now, he's playing really, really well. You ride it, like you said, and the O's, I guess they could probably sneak into a wild card if they get real hot, but they're not in the radar at this current time, I think, to really make a push. But you know, who knows in this era of baseball. But yeah, CES is a good one. I weirdly wasn't in the market for a lot of hitters this week. Not a humble brag, just the reality of the situation. I was focused on the mound, and so CES, I think I got him in a couple spots, but it wasn't an urgent situation, sadly enough. All right, next most added player, this is because, you know, pour one out for the homies, Shea Bangaliers, torn meniscus, actually scheduled or already did have surgery on Monday, finishing his 2026 fantasy baseball or Major League Baseball season, which means Jonah Heim for now is the front runner in Oakland or Sacramento, which we know he was already DHing anyways, getting tons of playing time. Jonah Heim was picked up in 141 online championships, as high as 61, average of 12, picked up in 6 main events, probably widely rostered already, average of 28, max of 42. He was dropped in 5 OC, so we'll see how that goes this weekend. And he was dropped in 1 main event as well, Jonah Heim was. It's interesting because Heim was on a heater, Ben, at one point in time. It's the home run that's only a home run in Las Vegas, and then he plays well at home and does his thing. But in July, Jonah Heim's hitting .210 with 2 home runs. Still 11 RBIs, not bad, but consistently playing in the middle of that order for the A's. So he's getting tons of opportunities, not to mention the A's are home for 7 games this week. So what were your thoughts on Jonah Heim? This is a week where a lot of catchers hit the IL.
Yeah, it's pretty bad out there right now for your favorite position, unfortunately. Sorry, Bubba. But I did have – yeah, I didn't really have a big need for catcher, luckily, knock on wood, this past weekend. But I even so, I did have one league where I was looking just to add a best utility player, and I actually put Heim ahead of other non-catchers in that list. I didn't get him because I wasn't nearly close to the winning bid in my league because he went for 20 on average in the main, and I was single digits just because I'm trying to conserve fab right now. And yeah, to your point, he has slumped Heim in the last month or so, but now that he has consistent playing time, and even before when Langley was healthy, there were weeks and games where Heim was DHing as the backup. So I could see him being almost full time now between catching and DHing for the A's. I'm going to pull up their lineup real quick to see what it looks like. Their bench is Carlos Cortez. They have him now on the bench, which is interesting because he played 2 of the last 3 versus righties. So I guess they have Tommy White as the DH now, but they're also saying Donovan Wallen is the third baseman. I could see Heim DHing and then having Walton sitting or White sitting. So I think he's not going to replace Langoliers, but I think his playing time could be very close to replacing his playing time. So I think Heim was a very strong add this week. And like I said, I was going to stream him even as a non-catcher potentially. I would have been okay with that. So I like it. And he had that one good year in Texas. It was mostly RBI driven, but he had 18 homers that year. And we've seen like the homers. I think that one was Las Vegas, but still in Sacramento, he could hit a lot out still. So I like Heim as a catcher fill-in.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. One of my high priorities, didn't get him as many places as I want because people were even more thirsty for him than I was. I was down the ladder on some of my catching options for my Kyle Teals of the world that were littering my roster. So, Heim's a good pickup. And it's interesting with, you know, Nick Kurtz isn't in Monday's lineup. I guess they're kind of still babying him back from the injury. He homered over the weekend. But, like, he could DH more. McNeil's been getting more at-bats at first base because of JKG and the one ball and other things like that. It's just – it's a tough a lot of moving pieces until Zach Gelof comes back and really murkies things up. But what I'm trying to get at, without Heim DHing now, it could sadly give McNeil more playing time if you guys are Jeff McNeil fans out there, which no one should be in fantasy, at least at this point in time. It's not a diss on him, but he's past his prime in this conversation. All right, next most added player in the NFBC Online Championships, Ty France of the San Diego Padres. Picked up in 141 online championships, high of 52, average of 14. Picked up in 6 main events, average of 34, max of 46. Dropped in 1 OC for some reason. Ty France is hitting .329 with 6 homers and 17 RBIs in July. He is mashing everything in sight. You ride this heater until the wheels fall off, Ben.
Fully agree. I think we talked about him last week as well, so it seems like the OCs are just cleaning up where France wasn't added. And I think last week I said how there was a time in the main events where I saw France and kind of like when this started, and I go, he's been so bad the last couple of years, I just don't know. And he never really was a big power bat, but right now his barrel rate's 11, almost 12%, 78th percentile. The average is super helpful. It's just another deep first baseman. I think that's kind of the reason why I never added France aggressively in those earlier weeks. But if you need first base or corner help, you just can't really ignore it now. And like I said, the Statcast is relatively good. The not so great sliders are, I guess, in my opinion, the least important one. So it's like bat speed, squared up, chase, whiff, K, walk. if I'm looking at power potential, I'm looking at the top half of those batting sliders, and there's a lot of red there for Fran. So I like the add. He should have been probably added everywhere in the OCs last week. So it's good that he's finally been added in hopefully every league now.
Yep, he should be. It should be rostered. But like I was like you, as I somehow have a abundance of first basemen in most of my leagues, and it was very tricky to be like, I got nowhere to put you, dude. It's the problem. Like, I don't know, unless I drop Vinny P, which could be a discussion, honestly, but between the two. It is like I sat Vinny P in a lot of places this week for some other first base options and corner infielders I had. So that's actually a discussion that might be for another day at another time. But France for Vinny P and at least a 12 might be a thing. So, yeah, that's where I struggled with France. It wasn't super aggressive. The same with CES. Like my corner infield randomly enough is just fine right now, unfortunately. All right, next most added player in the online championships, Keiter Montero, picked up in 122 leagues, average of 13, high of 52, picked up in three main events, average of 67, high of 133, the most, amount of money spent on a player this week, I believe, is what it was. Let me double check. Yep, it was the most money spent in a main event this week. Keiter Montero was really good in the rotation to start the year, got moved to the bullpen when the rotation got full. Injuries have pushed him back into the rotation. Montero faced the Cubs last week, 5 1/3, 1 run, 8 Ks. That was always the thing when I had him for a while. His strikeouts were kind of not ideal. 8 Ks is very ideal. And then Keiter Montero gets to face he has a nice two-step this week versus Baltimore and at Sacramento. So it's a struggling A's team is the way I'll preface the at Sacramento part. But I think I like Montero quite a bit. I think the skills are very good. What are your thoughts on this Montero ad?
Unfortunately, he was never available in my 15s once he moved back to the rotation, so I missed out on adding him because he would have been at the top of my pitching ads if I needed a pitcher in any of my 15-teamers. And yep. After having some questionable skills, you mentioned the 8Ks and his return to the rotation. Montero's estimators are actually pretty good. His xERA is 3.38 on the year. His FIP is 3.57. The xFIP is a little high at 4.41. That's because his homer to fly ball is 7%, and his ground ball rate isn't very high, so he's getting lucky with those fly balls. K minus walks only 13.4%, and then when you look at his BABIP of 229, he's definitely gotten lucky. Montero, his swing strike is only 8.3% on the year, so there's a good chance that regression will hit, but the way pitching is and the way he is pitching, I think you just kind of have to hope that he stays hot, Montero. But I will say I pulled up the last 3 weeks for starters underlying data. And since this was his only start in the last 3 weeks, Montero, the numbers look insane, but his swing strike rate was 16% in that game. Of course, he had a low BABIP of 182, left on base with 100%, but low xERA, not a lot of balls. So he was doing everything he could in that previous start, which I got 8 batters and walked none. So I think Montero was very deserving of being the top ad. Was he the top ad in Maine? No, he was already rostered. I think Blanco was.
Financially, he's the top money spent in Maine's.
Yeah. So, but Montero makes sense as being one of the most added, and $13 I think is a pretty good price in the OCs on average. So, just it could blow up because those skills aren't the best. He's been lucky, like I said, but for now you can't really mess with that too much. He's got to roll with the hot streak.
Agreed. Next most added in the OCs, the fifth player over 100 leagues. We don't have to talk a lot about him though. It's Zach Thornton, picked up in 114. OC's average is 17, high of 93. Already rostered in the main event, so I don't have to talk about him too much. Ben, 6 innings, no runs, 2 Ks in his last start against Milwaukee last week, and he has a two-step against the Braves and the Marlins this week. If you have anything, the floor is yours, but I think we talked about him pretty extensively last week.
Well, I'll just say that trade aside, it looks like Thornton is expected to lead the rotation next week, but then it has Peralta, and this is because Holmes is expected back on Sunday per RotoWire. But if Peralta is gone, I don't know who would want Peralta. So it's always funny when people say they're going to trade him. I don't know who would want him. It means that Thornton could fill Freddie's spot. But for now, I think it makes sense that he was added everywhere this week because of the two steps. So I think his skills haven't been the best, Thornton. But the way he's pitching, he's got to kind of roll with it.
Agreed. Next most added player in the OCs, Estuary Ruiz. We are doing it again, folks. Estuary picked up in 84 OCs, average of 10, max of 43. Picked up in 26 main events, average of 21, max of 54. He was dropped in two OCs as well. Reports last week, Ben, came out that Jacob Marcy, the Marlins, were finally fed up with them. They're about 2 months behind fantasy players, and they're going to play Estuary more. First game, Estuary sat. But he's basically playing like two out of every three, it feels like. He played like three of the last four versus righties. He's sitting on Monday. This is what happens with this whole process. But it's what you get with Estuary. He's got four steals in his last four games. He's been hitting for average, just a little bit of average. What were your thoughts on Estuary Ruiz? As it was like we said on the Fab show with Ryan, if you need speed, this is your dude. Just be patient.
I have a handful of guys who I always love using the Charlie Brown and the Lucy football gif with, and Estuary Ruiz is one of them. Zebby Matthews is another popular one. But Ruiz, sure enough, he entices and he sits the first week. At least they didn't start him and then pull him out after the first
inning. Was the worst. Yeah.
So he's literally a rabbit right now for fantasy Ruiz. So because last week he had four steals, but he had 11 at-bats. And then 17 was five at-bats, 16 was six at-bats. I don't know which week was the all-star break, but either way, one of those is a full week, and he still only got that few at-bats, Ruiz. And his career high in at-bats, or season high in at-bats this week is week 13 was 16. So there's a lot of single digits for him. They just don't want to play him. I don't know if his splits are that bad versus righties, but I don't want to commit to someone like this where I don't even know the playing time's going to be there. So I have not tried to add Ruiz once this year, I don't think, and I'm not upset about it.
Yep. Same. That's what I'll say. Same. I am not stressing out over that one at all. All right. We're switching more towards the main event focus now as things are going to start getting watered down on the OC streets real quick. But take notes for you shallow league folks for the future here. Ronel Blanco was added in 56. Well, okay, the most added player in main events was CES, as we mentioned, at 58 leagues. Ronel Blanco was added in 56 main events, average of $20, max of 88. He was added in 34 OCs, average of 8, max of 37. That max was probably me, now that I think about it, because I think I had money to spend, and I was like, okay, it was between him and Wisentunt. They each got the $37 bids. Give me one of them. That's all I cared about. Ronel Blanco returned last week, 4 2/3 innings, 4 earned, 3 walks, 8 Ks in his debut on Sunday, 5 1/3, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 Ks, giving up 2 home runs in each game, which is a bit of a problem. But I'm just looking at like track record with Ronel Blanco, who's always had pretty decent, you know, K to walks, the swinging strikes, the stuff I like to look at, let's say. And I'm thinking, okay, let's see if we can dust it off coming off of TJ. It's a big if, I understand. But what are your thoughts on Ronel Blanco this week?
I will say, Bubba, you had the highest winning bid in the auction championship at $37. No one else beat you there. So,
well, when I get beat out on every major pick the entire year, I have money to spend now, and I will get my guys if I can.
And I call you like Thor or something. You got the hammer.
Yep.
And then, I had Blanco definitely in all my lists where I need a pitcher. I didn't have it at the top, though. Looking at his two starts, he had 3 walks in both of them, had 12 Ks in 10 innings, so that's good. But the 3 walks in both are concerning for me. I think he had Tommy John, and like we always say, the command comes back last, and he has not found his command. If you look at his underlying numbers, his walk rate is 14.6% in those two starts. Blanco has a 105 BABIP against, although he's been unlucky with a left on base of 46.9%. So BABIP and left on base have been unlucky. Well, actually, BABIP's been lucky. Left on base has been unlucky, so it's kind of balancing out. The swing strike rate is there at 13.5%, but he's getting crushed. His xERA is 6.8 in those two starts. His CR and xFIP around 4.2. So kind of a mixed bag with Blanco. And because of that, I just didn't really want to go too crazy with my bids. Also, I'm trying to stay around $10 per team, and I'm doing an all right job for the most part. And then just looking at Blanco, so he really had that breakout in 2024 where he had the 2.80 ERA in almost a full year. I think it was a full year. But despite that, his ERA estimators were about 4. So he was lucky by over a run that year. He had a high left on base, low BABIP. And if you look at his other surrounding years, the estimators are as bad, if not worse. So he really had that one lucky year. And I just knew that. I remembered that he kind of got a little pure that 1 year. So I wasn't too aggressive with him. And I think he might be on our list. I'm not seeing him for our next discussion for his for the matchups, but maybe we'll see how he looks schedule wise. Actually, I'm curious right now since we're talking about him. He has a not that good matchup over the next 3 weeks. His average WRC plus is 110.7. Blanco, so tough schedule ahead of him, and then just the walks could be an issue. So I was a little skeptical. I was at like $3, maybe $4 on Blanco just in case I got him, and maybe I'd start him. But he could be a great help. I just think that he definitely got a boost because of how bad pitching is right now. If there were more options, he may not have been as coveted, but it's the way things are. So that's why people are aggressive on him.
In that AC, the only two pitchers I bid on was him and Wisenhunt. Those are the only ones I cared about in the entire thing. So to your point, that's why I spent what I spent on him. But also looking at the schedule, the WRC plus, that's interesting. But I wonder if, like we talked about it before the show to start, Weathers or Blanco versus Texas, we sat him. But then, like, next week, it's at San Diego, then it's at the Giants, and it's home versus the Angels. Like, I think it's because the Padres are swinging. On paper, it looks really good, but you actually look at the numbers because that's what you do, and it's a different story. So we'll see what the trade deadline does to some of those teams, too. That could be interesting.
And they could cool down by then, too. Who knows?
He's not going to be an auto start. Like, if people were paying attention there, I'm not starting him in most leagues this week, but I just wanted depth to my rotation. That's what we're doing this time of the year. Next most added player in the main events, Brady House is back in Washington since Connelly Early is national, and Curtis Meade went to Boston. He started second base on Monday night, so that'll be interesting to watch. Brady House picked up in 41 main events, average of 14, max of 57, picked up in 18 OCs, average of 6, max of 17. I think Brady House will be popular next week in OCs. He returned 2-for-5 with 2 doubles on Sunday. More importantly, when I wrote him up for the Fab column on the Patreon, he got demoted to AAA about May 21st. He played 50 games at AAA, hit .301, 8 homers and 3 steals. Like, that'll play. And now he goes to a livelier ballpark. I think it's a pretty solid play if you need a third baseman, I guess.
Agreed. And then I remember I told you and Ryan that it was actually a pretty good week for third baseman because I had House third on my list. He was behind CES and then the other guy we haven't talked about yet. Because I remember, and looking back at his earlier weeks before he got sent down, House was hitting about a homer per week. So that's a 27 homer pace, roughly 26, 25 homer pace. And then you look at the averages, they were kind of low, but if you look at the K totals, they weren't that high. He had 1 week where he had 10 strikeouts, but if you look at his numbers on the year, well, now it's 28%. So overall, it was pretty high for House's strikeout rate, but I don't think it was that bad earlier in the year. And his barrel rate's 11%. He's only 23. And so I was looking for power, and that's why I was pretty aggressive. And now the Nationals are a powerhouse, no pun intended. House could slip another pun, not intended. He could slide right in and just take advantage of all those runs that they're scoring. So I was very interested in House. I didn't get him anywhere, as we'll hear eventually, but he was definitely at the top of my bid list. And if he gets hot and hits a few homers over these last 9 weeks now, he could be pretty valuable, especially at third base, which is weak. So I like the ad.
Nice. Yeah, no, I'm interested to – if you need third base, I'm also interested to hear about some of these other guys as you keep hinting at as a good person to keep people hanging on the edge here. But we will
wait to the end.
Get to them shortly because the next most added player in main events kind of makes me feel good he's the next most added player because I felt real dirty adding him in 15s this week. Are we doing this? For those that have listened to Bubba and the Bloom long enough, the original mascot was added in 37 main event leagues. For those that are new to the show, Luis Rengifo was added in 37 main events, high of 18, average of $7. He was added in 17 OCs, average of 5, max of 12. Since Rengifo joined the Padres right before the All-Star break on July 10th, and he's played pretty much every game since the 19th, 433, 2 home runs, 7 ribbies, 1 stolen base, 2, 4, 6, 8 game hitting streak currently for Rengifo. He's been playing all over the diamond, but I think he got his original calling when Miguel Andujar hit the IL, kind of open up the outfield spot for him. Like I said, he's played second, he's played third, he's been DH, he's left field. He's everywhere, Ben. He's doing his thing. He's being the mascot that he got his name for. And I added him in Tout Wars for those three people that care. And then I got him in a few other leagues, but like he was a 15 team target. And I don't know 12s just yet, but hey, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there in 12s yet, but I will. He wasn't the add, but he was also on the list of third baseman that I was looking to add this week. So add another name to the list with the mascot. And I think Ryan mentioned this too in your Discord. He was a little unsure about the playing time because there were three lefties. So there was a lefty on Sunday the 19th that kind of started him playing. That was his first game actually with the Padres starting July 19th for Renjifo. And then he started all three games, including that one versus lefties, and then he started three of the five versus righties. You'd like to see a little bit more than three of five versus righties, especially because he's a switch hitter. But I think it's because he leans that way because I think Renjifo has better splits versus lefties. Like, that's what the playing time is suggesting. I think in the past he was that way as well. But he had a great week, two homers and a steal, hit .435 last week. So you kind of have to jump on the playing time, hope it sticks, and then also the production is there as well, because he was like a mid-100s pick a couple years ago, Renjifo, and his profile always changed, but there is power and speed in there. He's only 29 still, and I think the Padres could probably afford to keep him in the lineup. Their bench right now is pretty bad. I don't know how long Andujar is out for. Laureano's out for the year. Samad Taylor's been out for a while. So the playing time should be there for Renjifo. And he's also middle eligible. I think he has second as well, so that helps. But you know,
second,
you probably want
third base eligible right now.
Yeah, you definitely want him at third base. But despite that, Renjifo, he was, I think, like fourth or fifth on my third base ads this week. So I was interested to see him get him.
Yep, very enticing. All right, now you want to know what desperate times call for desperate measures, folks? Because I picked up a few shares of this forgotten giant, Patrick Bailey. Was picked up in 35 main events, average of $3, max of 12. He was picked up in 17 OCs, average of 2, max of 11. Again, Langoliers, Teal, some gave up on Will Smith and others. There was openings
Asayo,
at catcher.
Adley.
Yeah, Samaya. Yeah, there was need at catcher, folks, this week. Since July 1st, well, I'll just say since he joined the Guardians on May 10th, Patrick Bailey's hitting .237. With four home runs, which is good for Patrick Bailey. It gets better, though. Since July 1st, Patrick Bailey's hitting .310 with three home runs. I do not expect this to last, but by gosh, when we need guys to catch right now for fantasy, Patrick Bailey is on the board, folks. And again, like I felt dirty with Renjifo. Oh, I felt dirty with Patrick Bailey being behind Jonah Heim and all of my catching waterfalls. So here we are.
Can't blame you one bit or anyone else who added Heim, or I mean Bailey. I didn't need a catch, like I said before, so I wasn't looking to add him, but I have been playing Bailey for a long time in a DC, just to show you how things have been there as well. But yeah, good week of two homers, hit .429, week 18. So just the analysis is that you need a catcher, you add a catcher, and that's kind of how things stand right now in terms of Bailey. So no, I can't really say anything about it.
Speaking of when you need a catcher, you add a catcher. Here's your third option of the pile of fecal matter in the back. Nick Fortes was added in 32 leagues, average of 5, max of 18, added in 66 OCs, way more than Patrick Bailey. Like Bailey just leaves a stench, I think, from the past. Average of 4, max of 18. But Fortes was dropped in one main and dropped in one OC as well. People might like Fortes because he's actually – well, on the season, he's hitting .281, which is, all things considered, not bad. But since July 1st, Nick Fortes is hitting .386 with three homers and 10 RBIs. Like, he's been playing really, really good. So, yeah, my waterfalls consisted of Heim, Bailey, and Fortes. That's where I was primarily trying to shop this weekend.
What have they done to your position, Bubba? It's not good.
It's not good. Not good at all. It was great at one time, and now it's just, yeah, it's not great.
Okay, well, Roster Resource has it as actually Fiducia is the starter still. They kind of alternate every other game, and then they both had a stretch of two in a row, which is kind of interesting. Let me see what Mike says. So the King thinks that it's Fiducia still. I think because he's left-handed and yeah, Fortes is right-handed.
That's what it is.
Yeah. What do the Rays have this week? Quantrill, Gore, Evaldi. Yeah, so... the problem is you're not going to have three catchers, one being Nick Fortes on your roster unless one's hurt. So you're going to get one start maybe Monday through Thursday probably, and then you're going to get two on the weekend. But desperate times, desperate measures. So I and also, too, I'd rather have like a better average hitter that's getting less volume than someone who's hitting 200 but's playing 4 out of 6, maybe, if that makes sense. So
agreed.
I don't know if it's going to stick. But you mentioned his 281 average. Before that, he was like 220 or 230, Fortes, for his season averages. So it could very well come down. But for now, he's a hot he's playing well. And then if something happens and he starts becoming Nick Fortes again, then you drop and move to the next guy. But definitely would have preferred Bailey to Fortes, I think.
All right. Now that we're done with that fun, let's get to a better player, but to at least maybe interest some listeners out there. Pedro Ramirez of the Chicago Cubs been a talking point between the King, DiPietro, others on the old Twitter bot about potential playing time, and then it loses it, then he gets it. Pedro Ramirez, I almost did it again, Ben. He's
very close.
he's basically turning into the Matt Shaw role when Matt Shaw's on the IL. Pedro Ramirez has picked up in 30 main events, average of 10, max of 31, picked up in 32 OCs, average of 5, max of 23. Ramirez has a 2-4-6-7 game hitting streak going on right now. In July, hitting 375 with one steal. I still wasn't overly excited about adding Pedro Ramirez, but maybe you were. What were your thoughts?
He wasn't number one on the third base list, but he was on the list as well. I forget
if he's there eventually.
We will. The problem is the guy that I added wasn't available in a lot of spots. I just got lucky. So with Ramirez, he could be in a platoon because he's sat versus the last two lefties that have been on the schedule for the Cubs since he started playing. I believe he's a switch hitter, though, so that's interesting. It's always he's a switch hitter. He has some speed, which is appealing. He had 19 steals this year in 43 games in AAA and 9 homers as well, hit 312. So pretty good underlying, pretty good minor league numbers. The power seems to have increased a lot this year because that 9 was his career high in only 43 games in the minors. He had a career high of 8 previously, 2 years, Ramirez, that is. And for now, it's worth – yeah, I was looking at him after last week because I think he was a popular name in the Twitter streets after those last Sunday starts. I think Curlin saw that and wanted to add him. So he ended up playing only 4 of 6 games last week, Ramirez. Not as much as you would want. Because their base is so bad, though, in a 15, he's worth the shot, especially with those minor league numbers. And the Cubs don't really have an obvious fill-in. They haven't even played Triantos once since he's been called up, so that's very weird. Conforto. Well,
they flat out said when they called Triantos up that there won't be a lot of playing time for him.
Yeah, it makes no sense. He's a top prospect. He's got to play somewhere. And then Amaya. So I guess the DH is kind of not fully there because they like to rotate Kelly and Amaya through those spots. That's who is DHing today is Carson Kelly with Amaya catching. But like I said, just because of how bad their base is, and he played 3 in a row, Ramirez, it's worth the gamble. And I don't know. The Cubs just don't want – I don't think they want to commit to a DH. That's the way things have looked at least. So playing time could be frustrating, but to see if he does really well, then they keep him in the lineup.
Yeah, no, it could be something, but I need to see more before I got too excited about it, and it'll probably be too late by the time that happens. All right, a few more here before we talk schedules. Hollywood, Hogan, Harris. I can't wait to talk to Ben about this one. This Hogan Harris has picked up in 26 main events, average of 13, max of 38. Picked up in 43 OCs, average of 6, max of 25. Harris has saves in 2 of his last 3 outings, giving him 8 on the season. Remember, that's a long season. He's got 10 holds. He's got 3 wins, but it's a 3.15 ERA, and it's a 16% K to walk. He's been their high leverage, most utilized arm out of that bullpen, and overall has been pretty, pretty good, but it's not a full-time role. So, Ben, why don't you throw some cold water on all this for us? Because I was excited about Hogan Harris. I think this is, in a world where you need closers, if you want a third RP on your roster, this is the guy, one of them.
Yeah, I definitely threw a little cold water on it. Because I was someone who actually had Harris for a while. So he had 2 saves in week 18 this previous week. His previous save was back in week 12. So Harris had, from weeks 7 through 12, 6 weeks, he had 5 saves, 1 every week except for week 10. And then he went 5 weeks without one. He had, but at least one thing, though. So if you want to have him as your RP3 throughout the rest of the year, it won't kill you because in many of those weeks, he had either four or five strikeouts, which is like a low end starters total. So he won't hurt you in K's. He shouldn't, at least, Harris, if you're going to put him as your RP3 and like set and forget it. But there's been so many closers that have gotten saves for the A's that I just don't think he's going to be getting enough. Like, if you need like a couple, like maybe there's 9 weeks left, maybe he gets four at the best case scenario based on how the usage has been. Maybe that's helpful and puts you over the top in the category, whether it's an overall or a tight league. I just, after enduring that stretch of no saves when everybody else but him were getting opportunities, and he's a lefty, so that kind of hurts his chances as well. I did have Harris in a bid where I needed, in a bid list where I needed a closer. I think it was a third closer in that league. I didn't get him, I don't believe. He is not in any of my leagues, in my fab leagues. But he's the head of the committee per roster resource, actually per Closer Monkey roster resource has him as the closer, which I wouldn't go that far to give him the job. I definitely think it's a committee of some sorts. With who? I have no idea. I don't think the A's know either. No. But I wouldn't want Harris as an RP3. I mean, as an RP2, I'd be okay with an RP3. But I just have zero confidence that he's going to get the next save or one of the next seven. Just the way that the usage has been this year.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm at the point of the season where it's let's grip it and rip it.
You have nothing to lose. Like, you have to take a chance.
Yeah. So we'll see. And there's certain teams, A's, Angels, Giants, like, it's been a mess all season. At least, you know, the Rockies are giving Romano the shot right now. Good or bad, they're giving him the shot. So we'll see how much you and I can enjoy or suffer through that.
Yeah.
Next most added player in the main events, David Peterson, pitcher, Chicago Cubs. Picked up in 24 main events, average of 7, max of 17. Dropped in 3 main events. So that'll be some fun bidding next week. Picked up in 11 OCs, average of 4, max of 22. Peterson, after allowing 10 runs in his second start with the Cubs, has bounced back with 11 and two-thirds innings, one earned run, 5 walks, 6 Ks. Command has always been a concern with Mr. Peterson out there, but as a whole, he's been quite serviceable throughout his career, and people are pretty excited about Mr. Peterson and his two-step this week at St. Louis and versus the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I was talking with Jason Santu on Twitter. He added him. I added Peterson, one of my important main events, so I'm here for the ride. Insert the guild's car off the cliff gif, because that's kind of how it feels. He's been so bad, Peterson. His ERA is almost 6 in the year. His whip's over 1.1.5, but he actually will appear on our discussion. He's actually the top name in our lefties for the next segment of the show, so I won't jump into it too much, but he has good matchups, and you mentioned the two-step this week. And that's a big part of it, because the Yankees have been horrible and the Cardinals haven't been that good as well. So this is just a matchup play. This main, I have really good ERA and whip for now, knock on wood, and I need help in wins and Ks. So he was just like one of the available two steps this week. In the main events, there's no pitching available. I sent you a screenshot of like 7 teams, and then they're basically all rostered. And the ones that aren't are just horrible. So he was the only one available who had any sort of life, Peterson, and that's why I went for him, and I'm starting him, but it could go horribly wrong. And if it goes well, maybe I hold him for that next start if he's still in the rotation, because, well, he's in the Cubs now, right? And they just got rid of Taillon. Yep. So he could be sticking around for a while. He's
sticking for a while. They traded for him for a reason.
Yeah, maybe they saw something. But I think he actually had a good start in there at one point. Where is he?
3 out of 4 starts haven't been bad. It was the one.
Yeah, the last start was good. 4 Ks, 1 walk, shutout, 6 2/3 versus the Tigers. One before that, he had more walks than Ks, but he still had good results. And then he got crushed by the Cardinals. Go figure who he's facing this week. And then the Brewers, he actually did pretty well too. So, yeah, 3 of 4 have been good for Peterson. So it's just kind of like a throw-you-know-what at the wall, see if it sticks.
Yep, no, that checks out. I can say a couple more here before we move on, because I want to talk about a guy that every time I look at Fab, I'm like, why are people liking him? But Gabriel Hughes is a pitcher for the Colorado Rockies. For those, like most of us that ignore Colorado Rockies pitching in general, Gabriel Hughes has picked up in 22 main events, average of 3, high of 8, picked up in 2 OCs for $7, dropped in 1 main event. Gabriel Hughes has made 3 straight starts with the Rockies. He's basically pitched out of the relief, and then 3 starts, he got a save in his first time. But then it's been 5 innings or more in 3 straight starts, 3 earned runs or less, 5 Ks or more. So it's been 18 strikeouts to 5 walks. Like, very serviceable. And the last two starts were at home against Washington and Cincinnati, which I don't take lightly. Gabriel Hughes at San Diego this week, and then he's got Tampa Bay at home in Coors, but then a nice two-step on the road the following week. I don't know a whole lot about Gabriel Hughes, I'll be honest, Ben. Do you have anything to add on Gabriel Hughes? Because he's this is why I like doing this kind of like deeper into the main events. This got my attention.
Well, no, because when I saw him on Waxman's report today, I said, who is Gabriel Hughes?
So that I just tells ignore you, all Rocky starters. I just it's a principle, basically.
But yeah, and look at Chase Dolander. Dolander, like he started out really well, and then Coors got to – I mean, you could argue maybe he was actually hurt when he started doing poorly, Dolander, but ultimately something got to him. But at least this – what's his name? Hughes guy, he's at least on the road this week. But I guess my pitcher list there's another pun. My bids for pitchers this week were very short. So had I don't want to say like if I knew about Hughes and like he was on the Rockies and he was starting on the road, I may have added him, but he probably would have been last on the list. So 19 Ks and six walks and 19 and third innings so far is pretty good. Is that all of his – no, he had one relief appearance before that.
You got a save.
Yeah, three innings save to end the game versus the Giants, go figure.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's a prospect. He's 24, so maybe it works out, but – I would not be playing him at home at all. So we'll see. Cool. The Padres, they're kind of waking up, so it's not the best matchup anymore. The numbers might say it is. I'm not sure how they sit in the last 3 weeks, but, yeah, I'm not upset that I didn't try to add him.
Yeah, I saw a post on Twitter that Padres offense is one of the top offenses in baseball since the All-Star break. So
yeah,
let that one sink in as well. All right, Ben, let's do our pickups for the week, and then we'll talk some scheduling down the line here. And you're going to let us know who your top-rated third baseman is because you picked him up, apparently.
Yeah, someone talked about him, which is kind of funny. Let's go to the Listener League auction. Only one bid. I only had one small bid list, and I added Max Kepler, dropped Drew Gilbert 3-2. Pretty low on money there, so... Kepler is kind of waking up without the juice, so see what happens. New Jersey Maine is next. Here's my guy. Added Tommy White, dropped Jorge Polanco 12-4. Then I added Tyler Phillips for his two-step that's off to a rocky start, dropped Trevor McDonald 3-0. So two adds there. My main three, which is the one that's fighting with Weimer, and I forget who the other person is, but we'll have like 115 points. It's crazy. I added Tommy White again, dropped JKG. Condolences, my man. Hopefully you heal up. 8-5. This is where I added David Peterson, dropped Mitch Bratt 4-0. And then I moved on from Sean Newcomb, got Eric Miller 3-0. Didn't play Miller, though, not yet. And then I added Griffin Canning, dropped Jansen Junk 2-0. So those last three could have been $1 bids. It's all right, though. And then the hybrid main, shocker, Tommy White. Dropped Javier Sanoa 12-6. I now have Tommy White in all three mains. He's in all three of my lineups this week. So hopefully there's a lot of runs in Sacramento. I added Nick Lofton, dropped Gabriel Arias 3-1. Lofton is playing every day, and they get Coors on the weekend. So hopefully I can play him then. And then, again, added Max Kepler, dropped Carlos Cortez 2-0. So actually a pretty active week, just a lot of low bid amounts.
That's a very active week for you. So I had one or two moves in most leagues. In the Vegas 12-team Listener League Sunday draft, got Ronel Blanco, dropped Andre Pallante 12-1. Kind of surprised there was really no interest there. Luis Rengifo dropped JKG 1-0 on that one. Needs some middle infield help to see where that goes. The Vegas AC picked up Blanco, dropped Ryan Johnson 37-19. So it's not like it was 37-1. It was the max bid, but definitely – wasn't there. We didn't talk about him because I guess he wasn't added that much, but Wisenhunt was very intriguing to me. And as I slide down the list here, Wisenhunt wasn't even added in my AC. Interesting. That might be a discussion point for me next week, but now everyone's listening, so we'll see how that goes. That's very interesting to me. Could have got him for a buck. All right. And my OLAC picked up Blanco, dropped Jansen Junk 37-12. Just wanted to get more pitching. As I said, if you follow Twitter, I am the Blanco man. In the Bubba the Boom Listener League, got Ronel Blanco, dropped Trevor McDonald 37-13 in that one. Got Jake Cronenworth dropped Tristan Peters 4-0. Cronenworth is swinging it really, really well. Gabriel Hughes went for $13 with no runner up in that league. If anybody, I'm intrigued by Gabriel Hughes now. Gabriel Hughes, let's see if he was picked up in the AC. Unless he was previously rostered, he was not picked up this week. So next, fun stuff coming up. All right, OC one on my B Bubba OC. Got CES dropped Jake Mangum 6-0. Got Brady Singer dropped Nick Lodolo 4-0. Got Cole Young dropped Zeke Duran 3-0. Zach Wheeler's giving it up left and right, if anybody's curious. All right, Ben, let's talk schedules. Let's get after it here and see what we got cooking. Explain to everybody kind of what we're going to do, because this will be something that'll take place pretty much every week the rest of the way.
Sure, Bubba. Yeah, so for those who were with us last year, you might remember us doing this in August and September, but what I have that Bubba also has is a workbook that has the WRC Plus for, I have last 30 days, but it's basically just July. For lefties, for teams versus lefties versus righties, and then overall. And then I have the schedule for the rest of the season in here for each team. And then I have the RotoWire probables in here as well. And what it's doing is it's taking each of the probable starters per RotoWire for the next 3 weeks, and it's aligning them with their projected schedules and their opponents. And we're looking at the WRC pluses for those teams based on the pitcher's handedness. So we have a list of lefties sorted by the weakest opponents offensively and the number of games they're projected for by RotoWire. And we have the same thing for the righties. So I know one thing we used to comment on a lot last year, which I looked at ahead of time, is the I guess it's the handedness across the league versus lefties and righties, like how good each offense is against those lefties and righties. First lefties, it's been 100 WRC plus last month. So right on, just basically average across the league. And then righties are 100.9, so basically average as well. So there's not a big lean right now versus lefties or righties. It's definitely team specific. And that's what we're going to look at now, is who has the best projected matchups. And this is assuming, of course, that these teams stay either hot or cold, of course, going forward. They could be trending up or down right now, but this is just looking at the last month of July and just seeing, okay, who has the best perceived matchups right now.
All right, we'll start with the lefties, as we tend to do. We'll hit a handful here. They'll hit some righties up before we head on out. But you kind of mentioned it earlier, the top lefty in the next 3 weeks, David Peterson with an average WRC plus of 76, Ben. He gets the Yankees, the Jays, who are both sub-75, and the Cardinals, if you want to know the exact run here. It's obviously Cardinals-Yankees this week with the Jays next week. And it's a little more interesting after that, but still he gets the Cardinals again the following week. So keep that in mind. But David Peterson's at the top. We talked about him quite a bit. Don't know if you have anything to add to that one.
No, we can't. He hasn't been the best skills wise lately, Peterson, but just in a 15, you're going for volume and good matchups on top of it. So hopefully he can overcome his suckiness with the good matchups.
All right. Now it's the point of the show already where it's, do you trust the numbers in front of you, or do you trust what your two eyeballs have shown you over the last bit? Framber Valdez is number two and the lefty world, and it's because of it. The schedule is pretty, pretty nice. This week he's at Sacramento, who is coming in with a WRC plus versus lefties of 86.5. It's only going to go down with no Bangaliers in play. And then next week we get at the Giants, and the following week versus the White Sox. So a really, really nice set of matches. The White Sox, as good as they are offensively, less like a 54 WRC plus versus lefties. So, Ben, I guess the question at hand here, are you still going to play Framber Valdez even though he's been so, so bad?
I have him in a DC that's actually dead last in its league. No thing. I think Framber has a little bit to do with that. And I sat him this week versus that in that Sacramento start. But I guess in a 12, it's a little bit easier because you probably have better options. In a 15, you could be kind of stretched thin. So at least you would hope that he can kind of straighten the ship, right? Framber with these next few weeks. But it's tough. Like, if I had a competitive team with him on it, I would be looking to sit him until he figures it out. But if you have to start Framber, it's not the worst thing, at least. So I still would try to avoid using him until you see a good start. At least the A's have, for his sake, have a depleted lineup right now. not having Langoliers there helps the righty lefty with Framber, but you never know with him. So it's I would in 15s he might not have another option, but especially like in 12s, I would, despite this, I would probably sit him for now. If you, like if you have a daily lineup or you haven't locked yet for Monday or whatever the start is, it's the first, so whatever that is. So if you haven't, your lineups haven't locked yet and you have a daily league, I would maybe sit Framber still for the A's start, but the Giants and White Sox, I would, if he does well versus the A's, maybe you play him for those next two.
Yeah, I got to see something from Framber before. I don't have many Framber shares, but if I did, I wouldn't be throwing him out there right away. I'm very nervous. The command seems a little wonky. The overall production just stinks. It's a rough go there. Another one where you got to kind of trust the numbers here or just say screw it. That's Anthony Kay of the Chicago White Sox. He has four matchups over the last next 3 weeks. A two-step this week versus the Yankees and at Tampa, which was a tough one when Ryan and I did our two steps. Would you start sit? It was kind of 15s. Yeah, maybe not else. Then next week he's got Cleveland at home, and then he's got the Detroit Tigers on the road. If you're talking WRC plus, Ben, Tampa Bay is above average, barely. The rest of them are well below average. So like this week he's got Yankees and Tampa Bay. Yankees are horrific versus lefties. Tampa Bay is slightly above average. So pick your poison, I guess. What are you doing with a guy like Anthony Kay, especially when it's a guy that struggles to get you through five anyways?
I think he's on a different DCK, but I did start him this week for the two starts. But granted, my caveat for listeners is that my DCs are all horrible, so it doesn't really matter. I'm not being too picky where in those, but I pulled up his underlying metrics for the last 3 weeks, and Kay actually has a 13.6% swing strike rate, but his walks are high because he's throwing 40% balls, and he's gotten lucky with the BABIP. It's below 200 over that time. Left on base is over 86%, so that's been lucky as well. But if you need volume, I think you kind of have to play Kay, and I would agree. I think if you guys had said he was a 15-team starter, I kind of agree with that. If he was available in the league where I added David Peterson, I would have had Kay on that same list. I don't know who I would have preferred. Maybe I would have preferred Kay to Peterson. So I think just because of the volume and the matchups and where we are, you kind of just kind of have to take the chance. And in a 12, maybe it's tough. It's always roster dependent, but I would definitely prefer the Yankee start because they have like Max Schumann leading off tonight. It's horrible. So it's been a tough watch lately as a Yankee fan. Even though they beat the Phillies, they're barely scoring in those games. It's the pitching that's helping them right now. So I'm not scared of them. The Rays have a shallow lineup at least. That's like basically top four is good, and then the rest, this is typical Rays. So I think it's worth the gamble with Kay. I don't know if I prefer him over Framber. It's tough, but he's definitely worthy of consideration with these matchups.
Agreed. We'll skip over Andrew Alvarez. Calendly early, obviously, isn't pitching. Not supposed to be pitching anytime soon. Let's get to Ryan Weathers, the conundrum that is Ryan Weathers. Because, like, talent, skills, good, results, not good, consistently is the best caveman way I can say that. Ryan Weathers has four starts over the next 3 weeks. Rates out really well overall. He gets this week, you're going to see him against the Chicago White Sox, a team with a 54 WRC plus versus lefties. He gets the Cardinals, we've already talked about. You're going to see trends here, folks. We talked White Sox, Cardinals, 92 WRC plus. Then he gets a two-step versus Seattle at Toronto. Seattle, 113 WRC plus, but then he got Toronto, 74. And the one thing I'll say about Seattle, I remember from doing matchups, so I pulled it up real quick. Yeah, Seattle's got the WRC plus rating 286, but it's a .081 ISO, power's limited, and a 27% K rate. So it's kind of a pick your poison and hope he doesn't just give up a couple home runs with Weathers. So what are you seeing here? Because like now, every week I sit there and wonder, should I start him? Should I not? Well, now I'm gonna see this and be like, yeah, I probably should.
So for my, I think you ended up starting him in that one league, right?
Yes, over Blanco.
Yeah, and I mentioned above before we recorded that I actually dropped Weathers to stream Shane Baz in my home league on Sunday, which is a daily moves league. So I was okay dropping him. But if I look at his minor league or his underlying metrics for the last 3 weeks, Weathers has a 15.5% swing strike rate. His SEER is 2.78. His xFIP is 2.44. His K minus walk is over 21%. So he's been awesome skills wise. The problem is that his BABIP against is 421. And his left on base has been 68.6% in those 3 weeks. So he's gotten very unlucky with the BABIP and left on base. And you look at his game log, it's either an ERA below 2 or an ERA above 9. And that alternates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Over his last 8 starts, he has 5 starts below 2 ERA, 3 above 9. He's like a random number generator of others. So if you just want to go with the skills, I don't think you could even target a matchup because he just dominated the Phillies. And then he got hit hard by the Pirates, who are better, but you would think the Phillies would be a harder matchup than the Pirates. And then he actually shut down the Nationals the start before that, but the Twins roughed him up. So, and then he had 2 starts back-to-back versus the Tigers. One was awesome, one was horrible. So I don't think you can play matchups with Weathers. You kind of have to either sit him or don't play him. But with these matchups and how good he's pitched skills-wise, I think you got to start him and hope that the good luck comes for him, because it's been pretty unlucky, like I said, with that bat up and left on base. But he's definitely a tough start right now, Weathers. But with the way pitching is, he's too good skills-wise to sit.
Agreed. A couple more here, then we'll go to the right side. Like Zach Thornton, we talked about him before the show. He's pitching tonight on Monday. He's got a 2-step this week, and then the rotation's kind of up in the air. Jordan Montgomery might return to the rotation soon. Parker Messick's awesome. We don't have to talk about that. I want to highlight this pocket of Red Sox, because we always joke, especially Ryan and I, we do the Fab preview, that if you're facing Boston, you're facing lefties. And this is the best example I have ever seen, Ben. You have Jake Bennett, Peyton Tolley, Ranger Suarez, Patrick Sandoval, literally all right next to each other in this deal because they're facing the same set of pitchers. So let's use Bennett as an example. Over the next 3 weeks, it's at A's, at Dodgers, then it's home versus A's, and then it's at Toronto. So for the most part, that's what we're all seeing from these guys that they're going to face this upcoming week, give or take a couple switches here. So you're starting Jake Bennett for the most part because they basically are at 86 WRC plus combined for their opponents, which are pretty sweet. I guess where I want to go with this is you're starting Bennett, you're starting Tolley pretty much in most formats. When it comes to Ranger Suarez, Patrick Sandoval, what does this do for you?
I don't think Sandoval is good yet. So the one matchup for Sandoval is the White Sox, who we keep talking. They've been horrible versus lefties. He's probably in Sacramento this week because I believe that's where they start.
Sandoval's at Sacramento. Next week it's 2-step home versus the White Sox, home versus the A's, and then following week's at Pittsburgh. That's the hardest of the
Pirates have the best WRC plus of those matchups. So I would definitely sit Sandoval this week. I don't know. I think I said when we discussed him previously when he was adding the mains, he's always had a high whip because of, I think, whether it's walks or just BABIP. So he's I don't have him anywhere. So I wouldn't. Maybe if it's like a, if you're looking for a 7 starter and you have not the best options, maybe these matchups kind of push Sandoval over the edge. But when it comes to Suarez, he's a much better pitcher, Ranger Suarez. And I actually sat him. So I have him in my 2 most important mains, Suarez. I started him in one, sat him in the other one. First, the Dodgers this week, who are actually below average. But I think after that, I'm probably looking to start him no matter what. Let me pull up the order. Yeah, so it's the 2-step is the Blue Jays and Pirates, definitely starting him that week. And I probably play him versus the White Sox as well. So iffy this week versus the Dodgers for Suarez, but they haven't been that good versus lefties. But then week 20, week 21, I'm definitely going to play him. So.
And then just a general thing I'll ask here, because there's some interesting names from like average of 90 to like say 100 WRC plus. What do you look at? I don't want to go over all these guys. I want to talk about some righties. So what would you look at to kind of give you the yes or the no? Because like there's Cantillo, there's Noah Schultz, who can't throw strikes, but there's Boyd, Shota, velocity's down, Trevor Rogers, Foster the Griffin. There's a lot of these pitchers we like a lot that are in a good WRC plus, but it's approaching average to where you're almost going to be like, you're not surprised if something goes wrong, I guess.
Yeah. Well, also too, like these are just like over the next 3 weeks, these starts. So after this week is over, maybe these teams have gotten better or worse.
True.
So we'd have to look at it again to confirm the future starts as yeses or nos. But I would take the WRC plus on this and see how they're doing skills wise. Cause like I keep referencing, not every pitcher we talk about, but like I mentioned with Peterson, he's been horrible skills wise, whereas Weathers has been dominant. So if the matchup lines up with the good skills, I'm definitely probably going to start those pitchers. And then I look at other resources as well. Like I look at Rotoballer, they have projected pitcher scores. Pitcher List kind of does their own little thing, their ranking system. So let's get some other inputs. So I do some less, I guess some more qualitative analysis versus the quantitative, which is the numbers. So I definitely lean the quantitative, but I also look at the, like the pitcher list is kind of more like a general rating and or like a more basic rating and like yes, no type deal. So definitely look at the matchups and then also look at, see the pitchers have been good too. And if you find a couple that both align, then that's your start for that week.
Beautiful. Just want to give that a shout to the listeners there. Let's go to the right side here. We'll skip Yane. We'll skip Wesneski, who I am intrigued to see how he does when he returns. Let's start with the guy that we can actually utilize. He was picked up in a lot of leagues last week for a two-step. That's Kyle Leahy, who's been really, really good of late. He's got three starts coming up with an average WRC plus against of 82.6. Leahy faces the Jays on the road this week. Next week's at home versus the road Rockies. And then it's at home versus Philadelphia. The Rockies have the best WRC plus of the group versus righties at 95. The rest are in the 75 and 78. So I just wanted to point out Kyle Leahy for some that might have started him just for the two-step bin. Might still be serviceable out there.
He is. I think I left him in my DCs where I have him because of this way pitching is now. And he's someone who I'm a little less confident in. If you look at his underlying numbers the last 3 weeks, his swing strike rate is only 8.8%. And he's had a 217 BABIP against, 100% left on base. So we got unlucky with the strand rate and the BABIP, but his K-minus walk is also 24.3%, which is pretty elite. But the swing strike rate doesn't really support the K rate that he has in that time. He's kind of gotten hit hard, but his xERA is still pretty low. So I think he's just kind of getting lucky right now, Leahy. But if he's your best option and the matchups are good, I would start him. I would look to start others ahead of him for sure. But sometimes you don't have that luxury in a deeper league. So if you're forced to start him, it's fine. Just know that the luck could turn and he could get crushed by one of these opponents. At least the Rockies are it's a home matchup for the Rockies, which is the hardest one. But the Blue Jays are just horrible. So probably start this week. I could see the Phillies being good versus righties come week 21, for example. So just kind of if things change with him doing poorly, Leahy, then I would maybe sit him that week. But for now, you could probably stream him still.
Here's a good one for your deeper leagues. Like the guy we kind of talk about off and on as a start sit. I don't even bench streamer hasn't even been used. At least I haven't with him, but maybe it is. That's Brandon Young. Over his next three starts, it's an average of 84 WRC plus against. This week he gets the Philadelphia Phillies, who have been struggling. Like we think Phillies, but it's a 78 WRC plus versus righties. And then you got the following week, Brandon Young faces the Angels, who we always enjoy targeting. And then it's at Minnesota, who's been swinging it well. And Minnesota's obviously is their 98 WRC plus. So maybe you don't start that game, but you got an Angels and a Phillies matchup over the next 2 weeks in a 15-team league where Brandon Young looks quite serviceable, Ben.
He does. He has better numbers the last 3 weeks than Kyle Leahy, so that's a positive start. Sierra, xERA all below 4. Swing strike rate's only 10.6, but it's definitely better than 8.8. Yeah, and in a deeper league, definitely you might have to start him. The Angels and the Twins are definitely the better matchups, I think, even though the Phillies have the second worst WRC plus, like you said, amongst these three opponents. So I don't think he's going anywhere. So I think he's going to make these starts, Young, and I definitely prefer him over someone like Leahy, but he's definitely a SP6-7 candidate, and I wouldn't necessarily be looking to play him right away because the skills have kind of regressed a little bit. Like I said, they're still fine, but the K-minus walk, it's averaged at 15.4% the last 3 weeks. So, but the estimators for his ERA are pretty good, and there's not really a lot of color on my sheet for Young. It's all white, which means this average, which in a deep league, you're perfectly fine with. So unless something changes, you probably are playing him where you have him.
Similar to Andre Pallante, it was like pretty serviceable for a while. Then it's been kind of whatever is the nice way I can put it. And then he's got those matchups. He's got the Phillies and the Jays, just like Leahy has, but he's got the Yankees instead of the Rockies, and the Yankees have a 99.5 WRC plus. Does that incite you at all? I actually dropped Pallante in a 12 because like he's 15 at best.
Yeah, basically what I said for Leahy is the same thing. Same team, same kind of pitcher.
All right. Well, skip Zach Wheeler, even though he's getting shelled by the Marlins tonight, which is a shocker. Yeah, that's why baseball's fun, right? Let's talk about a guy that I have dropped everywhere. I've given up hope, skills.
Don't do it, Bubba.
It's bad. I need to hear it from the Yankee guy himself. And this is where it gets challenging. This is why I like to bring him up, because it's like what we're seeing on the field does not match the numbers we're seeing here. Will Warren's next three starts, average WRC plus of 86. That screams great. One of the top right-handed options on the upcoming weeks for now. Will Warren gets to face a Chicago Cubs team with a WRC plus of 113 over the last month. Probably don't start that one. But then it's the St. Louis Cardinals, WRC plus 68. And then it's the Seattle Mariners, WRC plus of 77. Will Warren's been horrible. Nicest way I can put it. What are your thoughts when you see this upcoming schedule and Will Warren?
I think he loses his job when the Yankees are healthy. That's what I think, Bubba.
That should happen, yes.
I actually sat him in the DC, Will Warren, maybe for Pallante or Leahy. I'm not going to look for it, but that's a that definite possibility. He now has a 1.41 whip and a 4.41 ERA in the year after being really good to start the season. I think he does this every year, Will Warren. He starts out hot, and then the luck kind of fades away for him, and he just becomes pretty crappy.
Goes full Mackenzie Gore?
Except for Gore is a good pitcher underneath, but he has some issues. Warren, like, he was a top prospect for them a few years ago, but he's like a SP5 for a major league team. And like it was really weird that he pitched out of the bullpen the one game. I think it's because he hadn't pitched in a while. It was kind of like a bullpen day. So, but then he started right after and got crushed again. So nothing changed. But swing strike rate is actually 7.9% over the last 3 weeks, which is even worse than was it Leahy who had the really bad one?
Pallante.
Well, they both have bad ones, Leahy and Pallante, the same pitcher. So Warren's the same kind of pitcher. The skills aren't there. He's getting his contact against is extremely bad. 52.7% hard hit in that time. And he had the one decent start versus the Nationals of all teams. Well, he had 2 Ks, 2 walks, so he got lucky there. The Ks have kind of disappeared, and then that's evident by the swing strike rate being so low. So in a 12, definitely do not roster Will Warren. In a 15, if you can find a good streamer, I think you could cut him. He's not fully rostered in the main event anymore, Warren, and I don't really blame those managers. So I'm losing faith, and I hope that he's out of the rotation for the Yankees soon.
Good. Wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth. Peter Lambert, you're starting him pretty much every time out. Kumar Rocker, average of 89 WRC plus over his next four starts on Monday, already dealt against the Seattle Mariners, which was a WRC plus of 77. He gets the Houston Astros this weekend. They're 114 WRC plus. That's the toughest one he'll face out of the four, because next week Rocker gets Baltimore. The following week he gets the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. These are things you dream of when you're looking to start. And more importantly, I've been Team Rocker all year. Take a lot of flack for that. He's been pretty, pretty good of late outside of like one start, like over his last like six. So I love what we're seeing from Kumar Rocker.
Yeah, he's been the prototypical 15-team league pitcher, because his ERA is 4.12, whips 1.31. But if you get him in the right games, he could help you out. Like, his last two have been really good. He had a clunker versus the Astros before that. And, of course, that's his second matchup this week. But he already got 7 Ks for you if you played him this week in a win. So as long as he doesn't get destroyed by the Astros on the weekend, it's going to be a win. And he's kind of skills-wise in line with Brandon Young. A lot of mediocrity, which you'll take in a 15. His swing, his K-minus walk last 3 weeks for Rocker is actually 16.4%, which is pretty good. The swing strike rate's almost 12% in that time. So he's getting close to being a decent pitcher. But, I'm not really scared off by these matchups. You're already locked in at this point in a weekly league for the Astros, and then I would play him versus the Orioles and the Angels. He's like kind of like the other guys. He's like an SP6-7, and then if you have a better matchup, maybe you sit Rocker for those single start weeks, but he's definitely in play in those upcoming matchups for sure.
Yep, he's in the conversation nearly every week of like your final three or four guys, like which ones are we rolling with, so. I like it because, again, I caught a lot of flack for him earlier. I got two more that I want to mention here. We can go as deep or shallow as you want. First off, your boy, Ryan Feltner, has 3 starts this upcoming 3 weeks, average 89. He's at home this week in Coors versus the Royals. They're 102 WRC plus. And he's at St. Louis and at Arizona. Arizona's still at 97. So St. Louis is doing the heavy lifting on this one. Do you trust Ryan Feltner, I guess I'll say, outside the Coors start?
I wasted some DC picks on him, Bubba, and I haven't played him yet in any of those DCs. But I don't know why. But then I look at his numbers last few weeks, 13.8% swing strike rate. These are the flashes I always liked about Feltner. Yeah. I just wish he got off the Rockies. But at the same time, his BABIP against is 396, so very unlucky there. Left on base has been 62.5, so very lucky there. In a pinch, I would be willing to maybe start him on the road, but I'm just worried that going back and forth from Coors and the road is kind of screwing him up. But actually, well, let me – I have Rocker up, so let me get Feltner here to get the weeks. Cardinals, Diamondbacks, very deep 15s would I add Feltner to stream. If you're streaming Feltner, you're probably in rough shape, but they aren't the worst matchup since they're on the road. But the skills are there right now. It's tricky to assume that they're going to stick for those matchups.
Feltner's one of those, if you're desperate for wins and strikeouts and just praying like you're going to volume starting pitchers in your 15s, you're like, okay, he's on the road. See what we got. Roll the dice. You don't care about ratios. We're going to see what happens. Speaking about seeing what happens, the last one I have to ask you about, unless you have other ones you want to discuss. Zebby Matthews has an 89 WRC plus. His three games coming up over the next 3 weeks. This week, Zebby Matthews faces Seattle, who we've talked about, and they're 77 WRC plus. Next week, Zebby gets Kansas City, who we know is not bad, 102 WRC plus. Then he gets Baltimore, and they're 88 WRC plus. Zebby has Zebby things up of late, Ben. So what are your thoughts when you see a decent schedule to potentially stream against?
Well, you might remember, and hopefully the listeners do as well, but I already mentioned Zebby is one of my players. I always reference the Charlie Brown GIF with. So I am not going to fall for it. His underlying numbers have been pretty horrible last 3 weeks. Some of the worst that we've seen, or at least I've seen doing this episode. So I am not going to fall for it, and I will not start Zebby. Or I will not even advise anyone to start him, despite decent matchups.
Last thing I'll mention, again, if you want to talk about more players, you're more than welcome to, but a lot more right-handed pitchers with sub-100 WRC plus matchups than lefties, even though lefties seem to dominate more of the offenses these days, if that makes sense. I know there's more righties pitching than lefties. I'm not clueless to this endeavor. I was just explaining there's a lot of options for maybe some right-handed streaming potential than lefties.
Yeah, it's also interesting, Bubba, because there's 53 projected lefties over the next 3 weeks, whereas there are 115. So it's like a 2-to-1 ratio, a little bit more in favor of the righties. But looking at some teams' matchups this week, there were a handful of teams that had like a Monday through Thursday where they were facing 3+ lefties, which I think it was like 4 teams when I did Fab over the weekend. So I think they're kind of contained to the same teams. We had the Red Sox. There's another team that has a lot of them too. I can't think of who it is off the top of my head, but yeah, I don't know. It's
the Cubs have 3 now.
Yeah, the Cubs have 3. Some of them are, you'd have to dig through the different teams to figure it out, but definitely it could fluctuate. Even though I don't know, maybe it's like half and half. Half of the righties are maybe like 55 of the righties are below 155 or above. Maybe it's just the same ratio, just more options. But it just means that for now, it doesn't really matter if you're attacking a lefty or a righty starter. It's just really comes down to who they're facing.
That is correct. All right, let's do a couple of listener questions we got in the old Discord. We got 2 for you here. Adam W. says, CES, Brady House, I believe it's Estuary Ruiz, and Pedro Ramirez are the top 4 hitters on Ryan's Fab Tracker, and none are starting tonight. Guess that's not really a question. Adam just wanted to emphasize the struggles that are real in this game. And then Alex likes to say, I apparently was the only user to add Carson Palmquist, not Wizenhunt, while attempting to do Fab on my phone in a Target parking lot. Have Ben or Bubba made a mistake like this before?
Well, it's funny that he's someone who actually used the same first name. Usually it's the last name that gets
people. Yeah, usually it's the last name that screws him up, for sure.
I'm not just saying this. I don't remember ever doing this in my 7 years now playing NFBC, but I have done the error where I duplicate a bid list and I don't change the drop. So I end up dropping the same guy twice and I miss out on adding a player. So I've done that before. I don't think I've ever added the wrong person that I can remember, at least.
Yeah, I don't think I have. I've never had to pull a Waxman or something and pull one back on it. But I don't think I literally will. I'll hit it before I hit save. I will triple check like who's being dropped. I try to, and the phone is goofy because you have to like hit the bid list, hit the number, then hit all the guys you want to add, then go back to your bid. I actually had to do it this weekend at the beach. So when I got the Bengaliers news, I'm like, okay, let's go make some moves on the phone and see what happens here. So yeah, there was some of that going on. And then when I saw Will Warren get officially blown up Sunday morning, I erased him from every team I had. He was forever cleaned at that point. All right, Ben, any final thoughts as we wrap up week 19? Like you said, 8 more fab periods to go.
I don't think so, Bubba. Just attack those team weaknesses that you have. And if you're fortunate enough to add the best available player, if you have a lot of fab, then maybe your team's on a good spot. But if you're lucky to, keep doing that. But just be mindful of the standings and try to put your team in the best position to win.
Yep, there's a lot of ways to be moving and shaking over these last 8 weeks. So don't give up just yet. It just takes one or two hot weeks and magic can happen. But we will be back with you guys next week to recap week 20, continuing our 3-week look aheads to kind of give you an idea. Like we try to skip over the obvious ones and we kind of give you more of the these guys just got called up or would you stream these guys questions. And if you guys have any, we've said it before in the past, if you have anybody you'd like us to discuss, we'll bring them up. It's on the sheet. We can find them for you. We just usually go top to bottom for best matchups. So let us know in that regard. But until next time, follow Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I am at BDEntric. This is Benched with Bubba, episode 869. Catch y'all next time.